Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
In her political column from Windsor today, Olivia O'Leary talks about two countries divided by the same language.
I've often thought that if we could have communicated with the British over the years by letter, or indeed email, we mightn't have had quite so many misunderstandings. It's often when we speak to one another that the problems arise. The upper-class English accent acts on us like a red rag to a bull. Anger and resentment that we hardly knew we felt come bubbling to the surface, and some perfectly well-meaning English person gets the brunt of it. I remember visiting Glendalough in the 70s with an English friend who had just such an accent. When we got back to the car after our walk, we were hemmed in by one of the Glendalough tour buses. When my friend asked politely if the bus could be moved a few feet, the driver exploded. "I know your type," he roared at my bewildered friend. "Seed, breed and generation. And if you think you can come over here ordering an Irishman around in his own country, you can think again." I had to intervene and say that my friend didn't want to reinvade Ireland. He really just wanted to go home. The late great journalist Mary Holland, who was born in Kent, presented an RTE programme with me in the 70s. She told me that people rang in to complain about her English accent on an Irish station. Indeed, take any public gathering here where an upper-class English voice rings out across the courtyard or the pub or the lobby, and Irish backs go up all round until they realise it's somebody they know or somebody who isn't setting out to patronise them or, even worse, ignore them. Of course, there are reasons why we act this way. This is the voice of the officer class, of the landed gentry, of the old enemy. But, you know, even if you take the Anglo-Irish here, increasingly their children are going to school and university in Ireland and are speaking with Irish accents. The old differences, so carefully cultivated over the centuries, are slowly fading. Anyway, people can't help it if they've been brought up to speak like that. Sometimes we act as though we think they're putting it on, like upwardly mobile Irish people acting posh. Maeve Binchy wrote a great piece once about eavesdropping on Sloane Rangers in London having a terribly yah-yah conversation in a wine bar. "A bit of you wondered," said Maeve, "whether if you woke them up suddenly in the middle of the night, they'd say, 'Jesus, what time is it?' just like the rest of us." Who has a more upper-class English accent, after all, than the Queen? And yet, the genius of her speech at Dublin Castle in 2011 was that the first time we heard her voice, she was speaking Irish. That disarmed us totally, completely bypassed the old sensitivities. And those sensitivities are something we're going to have to get over now that we're all going to be friends. It's lovely to think of Michael Dee and Sabina Higgins' elegant West of Ireland voices echoing through Windsor Castle and Westminster this week. It's good to see Irish people in Britain being confident and relaxed, not trimming their accent because of snobbery or hiding their identity because of suspicion. The end of injustice and violence in Northern Ireland has lifted a huge burden off the Irish community in the UK, and this visit means a great deal to them. And it's a relief today that the awful swaggering of the Celtic Tiger years are over, that Irish developers aren't wrestling with one another to buy the most prestigious property in the UK and hoist the tricolour over them in some sort of reverse colonialisation. We all know how that turned out. The tricolour was hoisted this morning all over Royal Windsor, not in defiance, but in friendship. And the Irish president was given a welcome that was beyond accents and words. Or if there were words, we couldn't hear them over the military bands and the jingle of bridles and the clatter of horses' hooves as carriages and splendid soldiers passed by in a blaze of scarlet and gleaming brass. For once this morning, we were all speechless. And it was great.